You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to The Game Plan on the Raiders official podcast network. I'm your host, JT. Great to be back for another season with the Silver and Black on their great podcast network at Raiders.com, on Twitter, on Facebook. There's always on iTunes to download this podcast going forward, and I think you're going to like what we have in store for you, not only this week, but all season long. The goal of this podcast is to look ahead at the next opponent. We want to look ahead to make sure that you, the Raider fans, the Raider Nation, has a really good understanding of the task at hand for the Silver and Black from week to week. We're not going to spend a ton of time looking backwards. We'll play some sound bites. We'll talk about the highlights and the great moments. Win or lose, we'll touch on those games. But I'm excited that we're looking forward, and we're going to take a lot of time with the best newsmakers, players, and coaches to make sure you're set for the game that comes up the following week. This is a big week, and I wasn't planning on the podcast sounding this way or feeling this way coming into the first Monday night game, but we have to begin with the Khalil Mack trade to the Chicago Bears last weekend, which was an absolute blockbuster. Not many people saw it coming. Khalil Mack was holding out throughout the entire offseason, and his agent Joel Siegel was looking for a max contract, and he was able to secure that for his client. Not only did the Bears give up first-round picks in 2019 and 2020, also a third-round pick in 2020, a sixth-round pick in 2019. The Raiders gave back a second-round pick in the transaction, but the contract included $90 million guaranteed with a $60 million signing bonus. Khalil Mack will average $23.5 million per season going forward, and he's the highest paid defensive player of all time. More guaranteed money than any defender and every other player in this league other than Matt Ryan, the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, and Aaron Rodgers, who just secured over $100 million a week and a half ago. All the best to Khalil Mack. I spoke to Raider fans all week long after this deal. Emotions are raw and intense, and this was a young player, a great Raider. He deserves the money, he deserves the job security and the financial security, and a tip of the cap to Khalil Mack, one of the great Raider young defenders I've ever seen. I wish him nothing but the best going forward, but the Raiders now have to move on. And John Gruden started that process with a press conference this past weekend talking about financially how big of a deal this was if they were going to get into a deal with Khalil Mack.
$90 million guaranteed is an astronomical number. It's phenomenal, I think, for the players. Great for him, obviously. But that was something we could not do.
Also, John Gruden, I think the key to that press conference was the fact that he owned it. John Gruden is going to do a lot of big things, I believe, with the Raiders. But when he steps up to a podium, win or lose, he's accountable. He'll address the media. He'll address fans face to face. And he understands that he'll be second-guessed going forward.
We're going to be second-guessed until the cows come home on this. I understand that. But bottom line is we did do our due diligence. There was a standoff, and he got a great contract from the Bears, a great contract.
So Khalil Mack, it took up a lot of oxygen in the offseason. People were talking about that. My opinion is simply this. Mack's a great player. The price was really, really high, and the Raider organization did not believe in giving out $90 million guaranteed at this time because they have a franchise quarterback who's getting paid in Derek Carr. We'll see what happens with these draft picks going forward next year. And I think everybody agrees the Raiders need to hit home runs on these draft picks. And John Gruden and the front office understand that they have to not hit singles, doubles, and triples, but they have to hit home runs with those draft picks going forward. And next man up, the rest of that defense, which was improved throughout the offseason under Paul Gunther, the new defensive coordinator, a lot of new players came in on the defensive side. It's their time to step in and shine going forward, and we'll see if we can do it, if they can do it together. Derek Carr, one comment from him, because emotionally Derek Carr really cared a lot and still does about Khalil Mack, his brother, as Khalil got the deal in Chicago.
It's not what anybody wanted. I think that's clear, but it is what it is. It's part of the business. It's one of those sucky things that happen. The hardest part for me is, obviously, you know, you lose a good football player, but he's my brother, man. That's one of my best friends. So I think that that's the hardest part, is I just don't get to see my friend every day. Besides that, I'm sure we'll see each other in the offseason.
So instead of looking back at stats from last year and looking at overall defense and looking at overall individual statistics, for the first Game Plan podcast, we're going to look ahead to the opponent, the Los Angeles Rams, Monday Night Football at the Coliseum. And we begin with a guy who knows this team perfectly. Andrew Siciliano's got one of the biggest footprints in NFL media. He's the longtime host of The Red Zone on DirecTV. He's also an anchor on NFL Network and does a fine job. And he was the preseason play-by-play voice for the Los Angeles Rams, and we welcome him to the Game Plan podcast. Andrew, let's begin. Before we get to the matchup and the coaching perspective here, I want to ask you about the preseason philosophy, because you and I have been doing this a long time, and I'm just shocked at what happened this preseason. It seemed like all the coaches around the league got together and said, we're shutting this down. If we can get a dual practice where we can practice physically against each other, that's better than a preseason game. And without Jared Goff playing, and especially Todd Gurley, how could that have an effect on this Monday night without having a rhythm? I know they're getting practice touches, and I know they're in great shape, but are you concerned at all for the lack of preparation game playing in the preseason for what you saw from the Rams?
I would say that it's going to be look, if the Rams come out and don't play well or don't play well until the third quarter, yeah, people will be pointing to it. Now, Todd Gurley didn't touch the football last year in the preseason. He's still at 2,000 yards from scrimmage, so he was fine. But it is a new trend, and I can tell you this, JT, the Rams had every intention week three of the preseason to play Goff and the wide receivers. Now, Gurley wasn't going to play, but they were going to play Goff, and they were going to play Goff without Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle, sorry, truck's coming by here, and John Sullivan, the center. Those guys are just old. They didn't want to risk the injury. But then Rob Haven signed their right tackle, tweaked an ankle in practice, and they decided, all right, we're shutting the whole thing down. But they really did mean to play Goff. But when they faced the prospect of no left tackle, no center, no right tackle against the Texans, who were going to play Watt and Clowney for the first time, they went, forget about it. We're not going to do it. They weren't internally thrilled with it. I mean, they understood they were taking a gamble, but they thought that right then and there it was the right gamble. Tom Brady threw like 40-some passes in the preseason. So, you know, they didn't mind. The Patriots didn't mind rolling the quarterback out there. I think Aaron Rodgers threw like, what, 10? Drew Brees threw like 10. People will say, well, shorten the preseason. All right, but then you're just going to move this up a week. You're going to see starters in week two for 5 minutes, and then nobody in week three. It's not going to be much different.
Andrew Siciliano joins us. I think the Raiders had that intention, too, in the dress rehearsal at home in Oakland, and the Packers didn't even send their offensive line. And once Gruden saw that, and Donald Penn's playing right tackle, and that push is coming in that game, they got Carr out of the game. It's going to be interesting to see, Andrew, Monday night, because you want to know, I believe the Raiders, if they're ever going to catch the Rams, they would have liked Khalil Mack coming off the edge, and they want the Rams week one. Because I think the Rams week 5, week 12, week 13, we're talking about a Super Bowl contender. Let's get into the strength of the Raiders, which is their interior offensive line. Kelechi Osemele, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson. Donald Penn's a Pro Bowler. He moves out to the right side. Colt Miller is a first-round pick. He starts at left tackle. This is their shot. Their interior offensive line has got to have a big game against Donald and Ndamukong Suh. If they don't, big advantages, I see it, to the Rams.
Yeah, because, well, look, the Rams' weakness, if you want to call that, their inexperience on that defense, the soft spot is linebacker. So the Rams' D-line, they're playing a 3-4, whatever Wade wants to roll out there. Obviously, they have three number one picks. People forget Michael Brockers on that D-line. Aaron Donald, Wade Phillips is going to find Colt Miller one way or the other. Right? I mean, he's 70, whatever it is. He's going to find Colton Miller. Now, whether that's with Donald, whether that's with Sue, whether that's with Samson Ebukam, who is now a starter, a second-year linebacker, I don't know where or how they're going to go at him, but they're going to try to find a way to go at him. Yeah, I'm curious, JT, to see how different Sean McVay's play calling is this year. People know the Rams are coming this year. They didn't last year at first. You know, they dropped 40, whatever it was, on the Colts week one, and people said, wow, but then they kept going and going and going. Now, John Gruden, Paul Gunther have had a whole year to study it. And I think you go back to the preseason as well, that's also an issue why we saw fewer starters. Rams-Raiders week two, you were on the field before the game. Those two coaching staffs didn't want to be there.
Yeah,
I mean, they didn't want to play that game because of the familiarity between the two staffs and the fact that they had to play September 10th. So they showed nothing. I don't know that McVay, and I mean this, not exaggerating, called a play the entire preseason that he will call week one.
Wrapping it up with Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, I am fascinated throughout my career with coaching trees and obviously the philosophies of organizations from ownership on down. And Sean McVay getting his start with Gruden and knowing Gruden's track record with Holmgren, going back to the 49ers and Bill Walsh. I'm fascinated by this because McVay and Gruden are tied to each other, and you get access to Sean McVay. Tell us about this matchup with the head coaches, because as you know, you're covering at NFL Network. John Gruden has had a really busy offseason. He completely flipped the roster. Khalil Mack and that deal just happened days ago, and now he's laser focused on the Rams, which I think we both agree he's been focusing on this game the entire offseason. Tell me what you think of the matchup between these two coaches.
The familiarity between the two staffs and the incestuous nature of this league with its coaching trees. I mean, Greg Olsen too is a huge factor. Remember, I mean, Greg Olsen's there now with the Raiders. He was the Rams' quarterback coach last year, so he knows all the play calls. Like I asked someone on the field before the game, is there anything can either of you show that the other one hasn't seen? And they said yes. Gruden has been in the lab for 10 years. Try to dream up new stuff. I don't know what he's running. McVay may think he knows, but does he really? John Gruden hired Sean McVay as like an assistant to the assistant to the assistant quality control coach when he was just out of school. So he learned from Gruden, and then he coached under his brother. So I can guarantee you this. These two guys have lost sleep. I don't mean like nervously lost sleep, but have taken so much time in their summer to try to make certain that they are fresh and new for this game. I had a player, a defensive player, a well-respected defensive player on another team this offseason, ran into him, who told me that the only two play callers he has ever lined up against where he's like, damn, are Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. Now, this player is not old enough to have played against John Gruden, which makes this matchup that much more interesting.
Leave us with a nugget of Red Zone Channel and what you're doing. It's an incredible, incredible footprint that you have in the NFL and how you entertain fans around the globe on DirecTV. What's new this year for you as you embark on these incredible Sundays?
Well, two things. Number one, you're way too kind. Number two, we don't really want to do much new except try to make it faster and try to get more stats and information and never miss anything live. I always say if we have good games, we have a good show, and hopefully we have great games. I mean, you don't know anything week one. Everything that you and I, JT, think we know, we don't know it once the games begin week one. That's why, like, we laugh at strength of schedule before the first game. Do we really know? We don't. And that's what makes this the greatest real reality TV drama out there. And we're fortunate to now be coming back for our 14th year doing this. I think we have 8 games at 1 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday. You know, we have all the extra primetime games this week, so that changes things a little bit. But I get up giddy on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, week one especially. There's no place I would rather be, and our challenge is to make sure we never miss anything live, which is impossible because we're not clairvoyant and I can't predict 80-yard touchdown runs, but maybe hopefully one day we'll be able to see into the future and we'll be able to do that.
Continued success, my friend. Thanks for doing this.
JT, likewise. It's good to talk to you as always. I think I'm coming up on Monday. I will see you there.
Thanks again to Andrew Siciliano. Check him out on the Red Zone. And he loves this. He loves his life and his job. Again, watching him navigate through all of those games on a Sunday is special to see. Our next guest on Game Plan is one of the great Raider quarterbacks of all time, a four-time Pro Bowler, a former MVP. He's now a game analyst for CBS. You can hear him on Sirius XM, the NFL channel, and the newest analyst on the Raiders preseason broadcast network. We welcome Rich Gannon. Rich, let's get to the game and preview it, what you do best. And I want to ask your opinion about the interior offensive line for the Silver and Black. We're talking about Pro Bowlers, guys who have played at the highest level and have been rewarded, some with big contracts. I would assume, looking at this entire schedule, Rich, this is one of their biggest tests with Donald and Ndamukong Suh and what they do in the interior of this defensive pass rush. Give me that matchup and what the Raiders need to do to slow the Rams down on defense.
Well, they're going to have to do a lot of things. I think first and foremost, you know, you have to be able to help the tackle, both tackles, really. I think Colt Miller, the rookie, you want to make sure he gets off to a good start. I think you got to be protection conscious. You got to make sure you change the launch point for Derek Carr. I think certainly running the football at them is going to be important. The quick game, play action game, screens, you know, I think a tight end presence over there, some left formation, shipping with the back, sliding the line, get him off to a good start. Now, that being said, you got a right tackle that's used to playing left tackle that hasn't had a snap in the OTAs and mini camps and training camp. And quite frankly, JT, you were down the field. He was not moving well against the Packers in that third preseason game. So you got to be concerned about where he's at. Can he play 65 snaps in this game? What's his conditioning going to be like? What's his footwork going to be like? What is his hand placement going to be like? So what you don't want to do in a game like this is start the game and give up two sacks early, you know, or something bad happens. Derek gets hit in the back of the head, the ball comes out. So I think John's going to be smart with what they do with the protections. I think he's going to be smart with the play entry. I think Derek has to have a time clock early and make sure he's not taking the extra hits. Getting the ball out on time, but I think obviously the strength of this offensive line is the interior group, but the edges, I think you've got to be a little bit concerned early.
Rich, the wide receiver room is really full here, but a unique story at the end. Brandon LaFell is brought in, and obviously we watched Keon Hatcher grab a job in that last preseason game. The addition of Dwayne Harris and what we're seeing with Seth Roberts, who was paid to come back, Jordy Nelson, and you talked to Amari Cooper from the booth. Assess this receiving core and the type of damage they can do this year.
Yeah, I think it's still a group that's coming together. I think they've got a pretty good sense of who they are. I mean, Keon Hatcher, JT, was amazing in that last game. I think he just, the more opportunities, I think you got a sense of what he's capable of doing. He's also a guy that can contribute in the kicking game. But Dwayne Harris is a really, I knew Dwayne Harris was going to make this team like 3 months ago, and I sat down with Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coordinator, said he's a phenomenal returner. He's got great hands. He's got a great feel for the return game. And he's probably my best cover gunner. You know, and so, I mean, he is a really, really good special teams player. That's important. You know, I think you look at the two starters. John told me that Amari Cooper had his best 2 weeks of practice coming out of training camp. I think the conditioning is better. I think when his conditioning is where it needs to be, I think you'll see, you'll see less drops. You know, you'll see less mental errors out of him. And I think that's where to me, He's got to iron out some of the rough edges in his game and just become a more consistent performer every time out. I think with Jordy, what you see is what you get. He's dependable. He's rock solid. He's tough. He's durable. He'll go work in the middle of the field. Very good down the red zone. Still can use his body to post up players and catch the ball away from his body. Third down, those type of things. So, you know, and what you who you can't forget is Jared Cook.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a second leading receiver a year ago, and you know, he's a guy that Derek really trusts, and I think that's important when you look at the production there, the tight end position, because, you know, look, with the rules the way they are, the middle of the field is the straightest distance to the goal line. It's also directly in the vision of the quarterback, so You know, when I look at this game, I'm curious, like, how the Rams going to take away the tight end position. That's going to be important in this matchup.
Rich, we talked in Seattle about the lack of reps that the NFL is getting in the preseason, and I know you have an opinion on that, but let's look at it from a Rams perspective. With Goff not throwing a ball in the preseason and Gurley not getting a snap at all, is that a significant advantage, a little advantage for the Raiders catching the Rams on Monday night in that type of atmosphere where these guys have zero preseason reps? I know they practiced hard in the offseason and in camp, but it's a little bit different than game speed.
I don't know how you do it. I mean, like, to me, that's stunning. I just don't. He's a young quarterback, a second-year player. I understand the concern about injuries, but my gosh, you got to get him out there and get him a couple series, don't you? I mean, here's my concern with Jared Goff. First third down of the game, Paul Gunther brings the double A's. They hit him in the head, knock him down. I don't mean to hit him in the head, but they hit him hard and knock him down. All of a sudden, where's his timing and rhythm? Where's his confidence and trust to protect him? He hasn't had any live reps, and that's my concern. And also for Gurley, I mean, he's a great player. I led the league in yards from scrimmage, 19 touchdowns. He was second in I think he had 64 receptions. I mean, he's really a talented player. But when you don't give him any reps and you start hitting him early, I'm just curious to see how they respond. Look, if I was Gunther and this quarterback hadn't taken a single rep, I want to make sure I get after him early.
Rich, on Derek Carr, finally, let's wrap it up with you, the quarterback, the former MVP, your relationship with Derek Carr. And this was a big deal. He talked about it. I've been playing the sound leading into this game. That was his brother and Khalil Mack. They planned on playing and lockering next to each other for years to come. Knowing him mentally and how difficult it is to play for John Gruden. I mean, John Gruden really pushes a quarterback to the limit. You benefited from that. How do you think he handles this week emotionally? Everything you saw in the preseason and how he's able to jump out to a quick start to kick off the season.
Well, I think he's done the work. I mean, I think his preparation's been phenomenal. I mean, this is a guy that's totally bought in. He was, you know, around the building the entire offseason, the OTAs, the mini camps. The attendance was outstanding. He's committed to learning the system. I think I mentioned this to you before, I think his aptitude to handle the volume is impressive. I mean, I sat in some of the meetings with him. He's got excellent command of the system, great in the huddle. He's taken ownership and responsibility for the entire operation. And that's really what John demands and expects from that position. I think he's getting it with Derek Carr. I think John's been thrilled. I think the relationship has been outstanding. Look, people made a big deal about, well, will they get along? Is John going to be tough on him? Sure, he's going to be tough on him. But that's all good players want is to be coached. And Derek is all about that. They've been great. And anyone who's been around John knows that he's got a very special relationship with the quarterback. And John just wants nothing more than to see Derek really knock it out of the park. And I think John's going to work his rear end off to put him in a position where he's got a chance to be really successful. And if Derek can stay healthy, I mean, John's going to maximize his potential and skill set. They're going to build the offense around the franchise quarterback. They've got a good interior offensive line. They added some tackles. They've got some skill players, and I think they're going to develop a reliable running game, and Derek is going to have a sensational season.
Rich, I was there for many of your great moments with the silver and black, and now watching you as a broadcaster as you develop and get better and better every year. It's really a thrill to watch. I'm proud to be on the broadcast team with you in the preseason, and I really appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
You're the best. Thanks for having me. I always enjoy it, and I'll talk to you down the road.
Unbelievable analysis from Rich Gannon. I hope he summed up everybody's feeling, not only on the trade, the opponent, what it's going to take for Derek Carr to have a big season and to go out and win this game on Monday Night Football. I truly believe, like Rich thinks, there was a big risk by the Rams for shutting down Goff and Gurley the entire offseason. Can the Raiders take advantage of that on Monday Night Football in Oakland? And now we wrap it up with one of my favorite insiders now as he emerges throughout the NFL. He's now with The Athletic. He covers the Rams, and he's great with the Raiders because he understood everything that was happening with the Raiders on and off the field. My friend Vinny Bonsignor joins us. Let's get to the game, Monday Night Football. From a Raiders perspective, I think this is when you want to catch the Rams. No preseason plays for Goff and Gurley. I don't know how they can come into this game with any rhythm other than practice rhythm. Not that Derek Carr had a whole bunch of looks also in the preseason. Talk about the cutdown to the 53-man roster for the Los Angeles Rams. Any concerns, any surprises as we look at this matchup Monday night?
Yeah, the 53-man roster, you know, was pretty cut and dry. I mean, they did have 10 of their or 9 of their 11 draft picks made the team. That speaks well to the drafting of Les Snead and also the synergy between the general manager and the coaching staff. And Les tells me all the time, without prompting, you know, Sean McVay does a better job of articulating, and his staff do a better job of articulating what type of players that they need for their positions, you know, than anyone he's worked with. So that definitely helps. Yes, they didn't play one snap together, the first team offense in preseason football, but they're returning 10 of 11 players from last year, and the 11th is Brandon Cooks, who seems to be an upgrade over Sammy Watkins, and as smart as a whip, he's picked up the offense pretty quickly. I just, you know, they didn't anticipate or they didn't go into this preseason planning not to play their first string offense together, but the schedule maker kind of threw a curveball. They played the Raiders in week two. There was no way they were going to show any cards and play any of their starting players in week two against a team that they were going to open the season with. And then heading into the third preseason game, their right tackle, Rob Havenstein, got hurt, and that really disrupted what they wanted to do. And they figured, look, we're not going to play Jared Goff behind a really remade offensive line. We're not going to be able to run the kind of plays that we're going to run in the regular season anyway, because it's going to have to be handoffs and quick hitches and things like that. That's not what they do. So they just folded it up and said, we're just going to take our chances and go into the regular season without those snaps. It wasn't ideal, but they feel like because of the continuity, because of the veteran aspect, because Jared Goff is in year two of Sean McVay's offense, that they're pretty well equipped to handle that.
Vinny, as we wrap it up, I think the matchup I'm most interested in is receivers versus corners, with Peters and Talib on the corner, Amari Cooper and the new Jordy Nelson, who's been a very productive player for his career in Green Bay. We've seen what happened in the past when Aqib Talib would get very chippy, and we saw that especially in Oakland, Peters' connection in Oakland. I mean, the atmosphere Monday night is going to be off the hook. It's an opening game under John Gruden. It's under the lights, Monday Night Football. I can't see a better place for the Raiders to play a team that's this good, as you said, a Super Bowl roster, than to catch them on Monday Night Football at home. Talk about the corner matchup from a Rams perspective going up against Oakland.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm with you. I'm really intrigued by those two matchups. And one thing to keep in mind is, you know, those are two premier cornerbacks, and as good as it gets in press coverage. But now they have the benefit of working behind a defensive line that has Ndamukong Suh, Michael Brockers, who's an underrated football player, and Aaron Donald, who's fresh and his legs are, you know, haven't gone through a month and a half, 2 months of training camp. So that combination of the pressure that the line can create and then the coverage of the cornerbacks is going to make life difficult, you would think, for quarterbacks. And you wonder how the Raiders' offensive line is going to be able to stand up to that kind of pressure. And then how does Derek Carr handle throwing into that kind of coverage? You can see, not just with the Raiders, but whoever the Rams play, that combination forcing a lot of turnovers. That's what Talib and Peters are known for. And if that happens, then the Raiders, I think, are going to be in a bad spot, because if you turn the ball over against this Rams offense, even with the rust from not playing in the preseason, they can put a hurting on you pretty easily and run away and hide. So, but if the Raiders could avoid turnovers, then I do think that this is going to be a better game than people might imagine. It's late. It's a 7:20 start. The Rams are practicing late in this week just to kind of, you know, get their bodies right for that time. Sorry, it's Monday night. It's the opener. I don't know what to expect. I think the Rams are the better team, but it's up in Oakland, and anything can happen. And I go back to what you were mentioning. They haven't played at all in the preseason, the first team offense. You got to figure that that's going to have some sort of an effect, at least early on. And if it does, can the Raiders take advantage?
Where can we find you? Tell us about your great move to The Athletic.
Yep, I'm at Vinny Bonsignore on Twitter, and it's The Athletic, LA, or just The Athletic, and just go to your left side and click on Rams, and all my stories are there. I'm having a blast working for The Athletic. I think it is the wave of the future, and it's a lot of fun, and I can't think of a better way to get all of this really kicked off than Monday night in Oakland between the Raiders and the Rams. John Gruden and Sean McVay, it just has everything on the plate. The fact that the Rams were able to sign Aaron Donald and the Raiders had to trade Khalil Mack away. There's so many side issues to this game, and I think that game on center stage Monday night is going to be pretty spectacular.
Appreciate Vinny jumping in here. I'd like to talk to Vinny more and more, but I had to get him into the first podcast because he does a great job. He's the Rams' go-to insider when it comes to that team and that franchise. And everybody, a lot on the line for Monday night. There was a lot of noise this week from saying goodbye to Khalil Mack, for John Gruden and his staff to cut down that roster, all the good stories on the roster, all of the new names who are going to be wearing the silver and black for the first time on Monday night, and you, the fans of the Raider Nation, who deserve a winner, deserve the best games at the Coliseum, and deserve an opportunity to get to the playoffs under John Gruden. John Gruden had a busy week here with Sean McVay, a guy that he mentored in the past, going up against him on Monday Night Football. You want to talk about a chess match? This is a classic chess match between a young coach and his mentor. Let's see how it plays out. Under the lights, Monday Night Football, the second game this Monday night at the Coliseum. I'm excited to be the host of the Game Plan. Thanks for joining us. Please do us a favor. Tell your friends about it. Download it on iTunes. Retweet it on Twitter and Facebook. And thanks again for joining us on the debut podcast of the Game Plan.
Thank you for listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.